I said, when we went to Syria, we went to visit this 92-year-old, sorry, in Mauritania, we went to visit this 92-year-old scholar. And he reminded us of this fact. He says, I'm open to meeting you because you're a believer for the sake of Allah. And that's probably been your intention for meeting him. Otherwise, why else? We weren't going to get anything from him. We thought we'd just get some tabarruk, some barakah, because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the man of Allah. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. This is actually quite a unique collection of this. In this particular section, the collection is of all of those hadith that have been related by the different hadith scholars from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about virtues of companionship for the right reason. Now, this tells us a number of things. Before we start reading these hadith and benefiting from them, I want us to keep a few things in mind. The companionship that's mentioned here is purely one for the sake of righteous piety and benefit for the hereafter. This is not necessarily obligation. It's not underpinned by an obligation that we have to have this companionship. It's a very beneficial companionship. It's one of the most reliable companionships that is hopefully going to get us into Jannah. But it's not an obligation, as it is to have companionship of this nature with one's parents, for example, with one's brothers and sisters, uncles and aunts, nephews and nieces and children, our blood relatives. That's not what we're speaking about here in particular. That is obligatory. A person cannot sever ties with their kin, their blood relatives, for more than 3 days. That is a big sin. So what I want to do is, I want to just keep that in the back of our mind, that that's a very, very important relationship. And if we are reading the virtues of this encouraged and beneficial relationship with others for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and piety, then it strengthens and gives us an understanding that relationship with our kin is even more important. But here, because we generally, scholars and others, they speak about, and people generally know about importance of kinship and family, they don't know as much about having relationship with others or extended members or neighbors or other things. That's why this is being spoken about here. And there's some really amazing hadith that sometimes you don't feel like doing something, you don't feel like visiting somebody, you don't feel like speaking to somebody. If we remember these hadith, then it will give us a reason to speak to somebody nicely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to befriend somebody. You can only really help somebody if you feel that you're going to get something out of it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I say get something out of it, not in return from that person directly, but because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're doing it for reward, we're doing it for this reason to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's some really amazing hadith here. The first of these hadith, which is the famous one related by Bukhari and Muslim about the seven people in the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment that we read in the last session. It's the seven people, and all of these people are such that they go against the norm of people in those positions or in those states. Whenever a person becomes a ruler, they have everything at their disposal. They have wealth, influence, power, the ability to impose their rulings. So generally what happens is, it gets to your head, and people are unjust in that position. So when somebody is not unjust in that position, and is just in that position, an imamun adil, then he gets a special place. Generally, there's an attraction between men and women. If a situation presents itself where a person of the opposite sex, opposite gender, who is of good standing, who is sought after in a sense, beautiful, and offers themselves to you for haram, that is such a difficult situation to resist. So anybody who does resist that, they must have something that makes them befitting to be in the shade on the Day of Judgment. So among all of these people, people who hide their sadaqah so much that they write their left does not know what their right hand is spending. And the youth who spends his youth in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is a very difficult thing in the time and situation, especially when we live in. If this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling about his time, can you imagine the difficulty of that in this time? So these are all people who go against the grain, go against the norm, who have a special resilience and piety and fortification in their heart. So they get the shade on the Day of Judgment. So one of them is two people who love each other purely for the sake of Allah. That is also a difficult thing to do. So that's the first hadith that is underscoring the importance of this. When you meet your brother in the masjid, any person, and you make salam with him, he needs some help, you try to help, try to facilitate. Sometimes we can't go out of our own way to do something. We try to point them in the right direction, give them good advice. All of this counts. Then doing that with Allah in mind, that I'm doing this for the sake of Allah, not because I feel I'm going to get something from them, or people are going to say this about me. So for no other exterior reason, purely for the sake of Allah, then that person is also in the shade of David. He is parallel to the king who is just. He is equal to the person who resists a temptation that is openly facilitated for him. So you can imagine what reward we're talking about. And there's numerous hadith to that effect. Now, رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّ فِي اللَّهِ. That's what the Prophet ﷺ said. Two people who love each other for the sake of Allah. Now we have to understand here pure love. Not love, sexual love all the time, amorous love. Not that kind of love we're talking about. We're talking about pure love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you give yourself, you're willing to break yourself for somebody else to join them. That's what it's talking about. So, not every kind of companionship is a praised companionship. Sometimes you may be with somebody because of the evil. Because in this person's mind, evil is the cool thing to be. The gangster style lifestyle, for example. You get influence, bad influence, by being with this person. So you want to stay with that particular group, that particular clique of people, because they give you this certain feeling of supremacy, feeling of influence, protection, all of these different reasons that people do it for, or to get something haram that you want. It's easier if you stay with these people. You're safer that way as well. You know, you get a discount, and so on and so forth, right? I don't have to spell it out. I'm sure people understand what we're speaking about. So that is obviously not a suhbah mahmuda. That's not a praiseworthy companionship. That's a serious companionship in some way. People will die for each other. They will kill for each other. In fact, sometimes that relationship is much stronger, right, for the wrong reasons, than other praiseworthy relationships. But that doesn't make it a good one. The depth of it doesn't make it a good relationship. There has to be the right reason. That's why, for example, Musa alayhi salam, there's a sequence of verses. وَجَعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي هَارُونَ أَخِشْدُدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي وَأَشْرِكْهُ فِي أَمْرِي. He asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him his brother as his companion so that he could strengthen himself by him. See, Musa alayhi salam had a bit of a stutter. He wasn't able to speak as effectively as his brother. So he asked that his brother also be put together with him. So then after he mentions that, give my brother to me to be my companion and so on and so forth, so I can strengthen myself with him and so on. At the end he says something. And this is the crux of it. Why are they getting together? كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا. So that we can glorify you abundantly. We can glorify you abundantly. That's what he said. Because sometimes doing something alone is more difficult when you've got a companion to do something with. And if you can find a companion for good and virtue, then there's no better companion than that. That's why the pious wife, the pious husband, that companionship is a wonderful companionship, because it's going to be a companionship that has to be there. So if it can be a pious one, then it's also for the sake of Allah. So then you get this reward as well. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, throughout the years that you're with your spouse. Because one of your reasons for having a pious spouse in the first place, and her reason for having a pious spouse in the first place, is for the sake of Allah. So it's marriage is a sunnah, having a pious company, that's that company is more intense and intimate than any other company. Inshallah, from that, you will have pious children. You're more likely to have pious children from a pious union, a truly pious union. You'll have pious children. It's all success. It's all success, success after that. So he says, كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا. That's his words. So that we can glorify you and we can remember you abundantly. Glorify you abundantly and remember you abundantly. So anything, any kind of companionship that does not take you to this particular honorable form of objective, then it's not a true companionship that's mentioned in this hadith. There's no benefit, because then you can't expect any of these fruits to be gained from that. See, today, unfortunately, companionship is based on selfishness, is based on benefit. We keep in touch with certain people because we feel that they have been able to benefit us in the past. And that's not the right reason. That's a logical reason, but it's not for the sake of Allah. You can have the same companionship. Of course, if somebody's going to be harmful to you, there's no need to have companionship with them, unless it's one-sided where you're trying to help them out, because you don't want to take evil from them, but you want to give benefit to them if you can. So it's still good companionship in that sense. Right, let's look at a few other hadith. There's another hadith that's related by Muslim. A person visited a friend of his, a brother of his, who he had for the sake of Allah. Essentially, we generally don't understand them to be brothers nowadays. We think this is like a good, pious friend. So however we translate it, in Arabic it's called akhan fillah, a brother for the sake of Allah. Anyway, he went to visit his brother, such a person who he knew for the sake of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel in the form of a human being, it seems, who met him on the path, on his road, on his way, as he was going there. So where are you going? So, you know, somebody starts talking to you in the train or in the bus or in the coach or car or service station, whatever. Brother, how are you? You know, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to such and such a place. I've got a brother in this particular village who I'm going to visit. هَلَّكَ عِنْدَهُ مِن نِعْمَةٍ تَرُبَّهَا. Do you have a business with him? Some kind of agreement, some kind of transaction with him by which you expect to profit? You know, you're going to make a sale, deal, whatever it is. He says, no. غَيْرَ أَنِّي أَحْبَبْتُهُ فِي اللَّهِ. I love him for the sake of Allah. Even the words he's using are right. I'm doing this purely for the sake of Allah. Oh, he's a brother of mine for Allah. I'm just going to visit him for the deen. I'm going to visit him for the deen, brother. You know what I'm saying. قَالَ أَبْشِرْ. So this angel in the form of the human being says, oh, accept the glad tidings. I am just a messenger from Allah to you, to tell you that just like you love him for the sake of Allah, Allah loves you too. Now, this may not happen to all of us. We may not have this experience. Allah may not send this angel to all of us. Yet, somebody will. You may find some righteous person who will tell you, who will give you that glad tiding. So, this is the benefit of meeting people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I said, when we went to Syria, we went to visit this 92-year-old, sorry, in Mauritania, we went to visit this 92-year-old scholar. And he reminded us of this fact. He says, I am open to meeting you because you're a believer for the sake of Allah. And that's probably been your intention for meeting him. Otherwise, why else? We're not going to get anything from him. We thought we'll just get some tabarruk, some barakah, because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the man of Allah. Ibn Asakir, he's a historian and also a hadith scholar, right? He relates from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, slightly different version. سَبْعَةٌ فِي ظِلِّ الْعَرْشِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ. There'll be seven people in the safety of the the shade of the throne on the day when there'll be no shade except his shade. One is the person, ذَكَرَ اللَّهَ فَفَاضَتْ عَيْنَاهُ, person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such a degree that his eyes start weeping, his eyes start watering. So it's a serious thought about Allah, not just a passing thought. You really think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you say, thank you Allah. Or you say, save me Allah, depending on your situation. And tears come from your eyes. And then the next one is, رَجُلٌ يُحِبُّ عَبْدًا لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, a person who just loves another servant of Allah purely for Allah's sake, for no other reason. And then he carries on and mentions the rest of them, which is the man whose heart is suspended always in the masjid, linked to the masjid, because he just loves the masjid. مِنْ شِدَّةِ حُبِّهِ إِيَّا, just loves the masjid. It gives him a sanctuary. But this also tells us that for the masjid to be like that, it's made like that because of people. And sometimes it's people who will spoil other people's experiences in the masjid by talking too loud, by bothering them, by doing things strange, burping too much, all of these kind of things. So the better the experience we can have in the masjid, hopefully the more people will enjoy being in the masjid. But clearly this person overcomes all of those issues, right? Even if there are some irritable people in the masjid, even if there's politics in the masjid, he still loves the masjid. He goes beyond these things. Shaitan works in weird ways, strange ways, clever ways, sly ways. I was an imam in America and I've dealt, because I've had to actually deal with it directly, and because we had such a small community, you could actually tell when people were missing. And then you'd ask them, and the one brother, he will complain that the reason I don't come is because that particular person, I have a problem with him. But the other guy is not coming to the masjid either, and when you've asked him, he's not coming because of the other guy. So literally the shaitan is one on both sides, because both of these people are not coming because of the other, and nobody's there. Do you understand? It was just such a crazy scene in many cases. It's the easiest way for the shaitan to deal with this. And then he carries on. The different thing in this hadith is, وَرَجُلٌ كَانَ فِي سَرِيَّةٍ. So you know, we have the general seven people that are well known. This one adds one other person. He says, a man who was part of a Muslim expedition with a group of people, they met with the enemy, they suffering a setback and a defeat. So one is everybody runs away. But now what this man does is he tries to protect them. So he is going out of his way to protect them in their defeat so that they don't suffer a greater defeat, until either he's able to take them to safety and save himself, or that he is martyred. So that's a very special individual. When everybody's running, you actually go with bravery and valor and try to help the situation and rectify it. Imam Bayhaqi relates in Al-Asma wa Sifat, again another version of this hadith. There's a few versions. Seven who will be under the shade, who Allah will shade under his shade of his arsh on the day when there'll be no shade. And again here you've got the person who رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ, two people who love Allah subhanahu, who love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this one you have another one. You have وَرَجُلٌ غَضَّ عَيْنَيْهِ عَنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ, a person who keeps their eyes subdued from looking at the things prohibited by Allah. So summer's literally just sprung on us, brought with it the well-needed heat, but has also with its heat power caused people to shed off much of what covers them, and which then makes it a fitna, for it denudes the people. This is the power of the sun to do that. We're not gonna complain to the sun, are we? Right. We have to just worry about ourselves in dealing with that. Allah help us. Looking right, left, down, it's sometimes all the same, you know. So Allah help us. وَعِينٌ حَرَسَتْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, the eye that is standing guard in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a night duty watchman, guarding the borders, guarding the people that from impending attack. وَعَيْنٌ بَكَتْ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ And the eye that cries out of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Generally, in these all of these hadith, when he mentions that they will be under the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's throne, what does it mean? That it could be literally taken as being there a shade on the day when the sun will be very close. There's that. But more clearly speaking, it doesn't have to be just as blunt as that. Okay, this is the shade, this is not shade. You know, when you get VIP treatment, then you get food with it, you get, you know, additional services that come with it. It's not just about being in a shade, right? It's fi ri'ayatillah, fi rahmatihi. They're going to be receiving the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're going to be looked after by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's not just simply, it doesn't have to be just a shade. If Allah is going to provide that special VIP place, then there you go. In Shu'abul Iman, Imam Bayhaqi's another collection of hadith, Shu'abul Iman, the branches of faith, where he deals with all of the hadith related to the branches of faith, the 60 so and so branches of faith, or 70 branches of faith according to the other hadith. Ra'sul Aql, in this hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ra'sul Aqli ba'da al-iman billahi at-tawaddud ila an-nas. Ra'sul Aql, the foundation of intelligence, pure intelligence. If a person is truly intelligent, then they will know that after iman, that is the first dictate of aql. Aql is the most valuable thing Allah has given us. Aql, the intelligence. Because it's only by intelligence that we're able to see the right from the wrong and make out these things. Of course, with the help of the tawfiq of Allah. But after iman and faith through aql, the second most important thing is at-tawaddud ila an-nas. Tawaddud means acting in a friendly manner, creating love between people, with people. So essentially extending out to people on the basis of love for them. وَأَهْلُ التَّوَدُّدِ فِي الدُّنْيَا لَهُمْ دَرَجَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ And those people who are these people of love between them in the world, they have a high degree in Jannah. They have a special degree in Jannah. So one is you get into Jannah, any Jannah, but a person who is loving with others for the sake of Allah, they get a special place in Jannah. They get an additional, you can say, upgrade in Jannah. Let's put it that way. Today it's the time of upgrades, isn't it, in everything. Upgrade your phone contract, upgrade your phone handset, upgrade your flight. You know, we use the term upgrade in everything. And then he says, وَمَنْ كَانَتْ لَهُ دَرَجَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ And anybody who has a level in Jannah, he's going to be in Jannah. So if you want to get to Jannah, this is an act that you do that gives you a special place in Jannah. A special place in Jannah means that you're going to be in Jannah. But doing something for the sake of Allah purely requires a certain level of fortitude, seriousness, resolution. May Allah give us that. Imam Bayhaqi also relates, رَأْسُ الْعَقْلِ بَعْدَ الْإِيمَانِ يَتَّحَبُّ بِلَ النَّاسِ Same thing. وَاسْتِنَاعُ الْخَيْرِ إِلَىٰ كُلِّ بَرٍّ وَفَاجِرٍ And committing oneself to good, whether it be a righteous person or an unrighteous person, you still try to help both of these individuals. There is a need. Person's an unrighteous person. You still try to help them come out of that, help them in something else, not support them in their unrighteousness, in their wrong, in their transgression, but in something by way of humanity you could help them. And hopefully they will come closer to the deen in that sense. So it's just trying to do good where possible. Imam Darqutni, he relates, Al-mu'minu ya'lif wa yu'laf. The believer deals affectionately with others and is dealt affectionately by people. If a person is harsh, doesn't understand when somebody deals with them affectionately, takes it wrong, there are people like that. You try to do something nice to somebody, they take it wrong. They twist it around. They look at it negatively. And you get in trouble. Inshallah, you'll get your reward from Allah, but you get in trouble. So, clearly what it's saying here is that this person has to be welcoming, approachable. And that's exactly how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Because Allah says in the Quran, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضَّاً غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, that had you been harsh and severe and tough like that, they would have run away from around you. But the reason they were able to come, because love is a very important thing. In fact, they did a study on how people are inspired by others, and the fact that a person can show affection and love to people is a very critical factor in being able to work with people and influence people and inspire people. That's a very important fact. Imam and then he says, وَلَا خَيْرُ فِي مَنْ لَا يَأْلِفْ وَلَا يُؤْلَفْ, there's no good in the one who doesn't deal affectionately with others, nor do others deal affectionately with him. وَخَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعُهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ, the superior one among people is the one who is most beneficial to the people. So always this idea, and I think this was put in another way by our Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Mutala. So once he was leaving, he was going on a journey, and he said, give us some advice, just like a small advice. He's giving us advice all the time, but when you ask somebody for advice and they give it framed as a particular advice, it sometimes sticks to memory. So he says, try not to do anything that will harm somebody. Okay, that's so general, but it's actually really covers everything, because backbiting somebody is going to harm them, don't do it. So he deals with that as well. Don't cheat somebody, don't deceive somebody, and so on and so forth. Okay, next hadith related by Imam Abu Dawood. Man ahabba lillahi wa abghada lillah. Whoever loves for the sake of Allah and hates for the sake of Allah. You don't like something because they're doing wrong, they're blaspheming Allah, violating the laws of Allah. وَأَعْطَى لِلَّهِ وَمَنَعَ لِلَّهِ, gives for the sake of Allah, withholds for the sake of Allah, not for selfishness, not to take more, but for the sake of Allah. If he withholds, because he knows he's going to spend it in the wrong. But gives for the sake of Allah, even though that person may wrong them sometimes. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who used to spend, donate to one of their relatives, his name was Mistah. Poor. He used to donate to them. Now, unfortunately, Mistah got involved in the slander against the daughter of Abu Bakr Siddiq, Aisha radiallahu anha. There was a slander against her. Long story. Won't go into the story. But he was also somehow carried away with that. So Abu Bakr, of course, as a father, he got angry and he says, I'm not going to spend on him anymore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to keep the status of Abu Bakr radiallahu anha very high. So he reveals the Quran, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. He says, the people who have of substance, they should not now refuse to give to the people of their relatives and so on. They should, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا, they should pardon and overlook. So that is done for the sake of Allah. Allah loves that. So he wanted his Siddiq to do that. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Very tough thing to do though. But you know, the more you hear this stuff, this is, as I said, from experience, the more you hear this, the more you're able to think that way in these situations. When you don't know these hadith, we just think like normal people. And unfortunately, there's a lot of selfishness in the world. It's a human trait. There's a lot of selfishness. There's a lot of greed. There's a lot of anger, a lot of rage out there. Now, if these hadith are not hitting our ears and our hearts and our minds day in and day out and beautifying them, then when we're in that situation, there's no way we're going to do this, because people generally don't resist. The nafs just overcomes. But believe me, when you do look at hadith over and over again, and it may be something that you're not involved in straight away, but it does come to mind, and you try to create that kind of temperament, mizaj, approach in your mind that, okay, I'm just going to, for the sake of Allah. You know, we're repeating today, for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Allah. This is what should be bouncing around in our mind, so that it finds a place there. The next time we're involved in this, where we would have generally acted with revenge, anger, we're going to say, no, we're going to do it for the sake of Allah. If that much can happen, then we're successful. We've made an improvement in our life and an enhancement. And you know, it feels so good when you can do that. It feels so good when you can do that. Because you're doing it for the sake of Allah. And with Allah, people find comfort. With Allah, people find comfort. So you will be more comfortable by doing that. Because if we act with selfishness, as many people would do, it's not going to make you feel good. You may have one over the other, but you still feel that there's still a war on. There's still a problem, still a controversy. But if you're able to overcome that, you've suddenly freed yourself from selfishness. That's a major accomplishment. It's a major accomplishment. And you've done it for the sake of Allah. So then that makes you feel even better, because Allah makes you feel better. The rahmah, you just invoke the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very important point, this is. So for the sake of Allah, for the sake of Allah, let this be in our mind. Anyway, the next hadith. Abu Dawud's narration is, whoever loves for the sake of Allah, hates for the sake of Allah, gives for the sake of Allah, withholds for the sake of Allah, that person's iman is complete. Because for Allah is everything he does. That's his motto. Another hadith related by Abu Dawud, أَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالِ الْحُبُّ فِي اللَّهِ وَالْبُغْضُ فِي اللَّهِ. Superior action that Allah loves is love for Allah and hatred for Allah. Now, hatred for Allah, as I mentioned briefly before as well, it's when a person dislikes bad things for the sake of Allah. It helps people come out of a gangster lifestyle. They should know this is bad, this is not, this my love here is not for the life of Allah. Bad company, because of that. It doesn't mean you start hating the people, you hate their actions. As long as those people will hold those actions, there's going to be an issue there. But if those same people need some humanitarian help sometimes, then that being for the sake of Allah will allow you to help them. Because you can see beyond. You don't want to be in their company because it infects you. There's an infection. I call that an infection, essentially. Because it gets into the inside and makes you feel good, whereas you're not supposed to feel good with that kind of a situation. So, hating for the sake of Allah does not lead one to commit crimes. Should not lead one. As you have some extremism that could be taken, you know, could be misunderstood through this narration. So that should not be misapplied. Another hadith is, again, Abu Dawud, أَفْضَلُ الْإِيمَانِ أَن تُحِبَّ لِلَّهِ. The best of iman is that you love for the sake of Allah, وَتَبْغَضِ لِلَّهِ, you hate for the sake of Allah. وَتَسْتَعْمِلْ لِسَانَكَ فِي ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, you use your tongue in remembrance of Allah. وَأَن تُحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبَّ لِنَفْسِكَ. And you love for people what you love for yourself. Now, what does that mean? How do you love for somebody what you love for yourself? One is, okay, I like this tablet, so I would like you to have one of those tablets as well. But then, some scholars have taken this to another level and said, you love for yourself to be superior than others. So how do you reconcile that with wanting somebody else to then be superior as well? Because if you want to be better than others, how do you apply this hadith? So there is a bit of a, you know, that needs to be understood. But then, one is to feel good about yourself, to feel like you want the best of something, but as long as it doesn't prevent you from somebody else, allowing somebody else to have it as well, then that's fine. There's enough space in the world. People don't understand that. There's enough space in the world. There's so many people that go around for anything. And then he said, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَتَكْرَهْ لَهُمْ مَا تَكْرَهُ لِنَفْسِكَ. You dislike for them what you dislike for yourself. وَأَن تَقُولَ خَيْرًا أَوْ لِتَصْمُتْ. And when you speak good, otherwise stay silent. This is what the Prophet ﷺ said. Imam Ahmad relates, أن الله يقول يوم القيامة. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will announce on the day of judgment, أين المتحابون لجلالي. Where are those people that used to love each other due to my majesty, meaning for the sake of my majesty, because I'm the greatest Lord. Where are those people who used to love each other for that day? Who used to love each other for that reason? الْيَوْمَ أُذِلُّهُمْ فِي ظِلِّي. Today I'm going to give them shade in my shade. Imam Ahmad also relates, المؤمن الذي يخالط الناس ويصبر على أذاهم أفضل من المؤمن الذي لا يخالط الناس ولا يصبر على أذاهم. The believer who mixes with people so that he can benefit them and help them, right? Generally, the Prophet ﷺ said, the believer who mixes with people and interacts with people and bears patiently with patience their inconvenience, their harm, their problems, their irritation, etc., etc., but lives among them, deals with them, is superior to the believer who does not intermingle with people and is not able to be patient over their inconveniences. Which means both of those states are allowed. The Prophet ﷺ is just saying this one is better though. Because with such a good person being amidst the people, you can expect some good to be eventually spread, how little, despite how little it may be. If all the good people are just going to stay away from people, then it's going to become a distinction. Those are the bad people, those are the good people. I don't mean you guys, by the way. Right? So, once that distinction is made, that's very harmful. You need good people among bad people as well. So, staying among bad people for the... I mean, I don't mean going into a club for the sake of, you know, that is, we don't mean that. You obviously mean that... It doesn't mean even bad people, just being with people in general. Trying to help, trying to just be there, trying to speak nicely, trying to just spread good. Trying to be a breath of fresh air amidst all the heat. And realizing there's going to be issues. Realizing, this is a hadith for da'is. People with a vision, people who want to do something, imams of masjids, people who want to work with others, leaders, motivation people, that if you're doing this for the right reason and interacting with people so that there can be some good that comes out of it and you are patiently bearing the issues, you can't make everybody like yourself, you can't make everybody and design people the way you want them to be. People are going to be different. There's going to have to be a level of tolerance. And once you stop imposing your idea of how people should behave on people and getting angry and frustrated, then you've liberated yourself. Of course, encouragement is one thing, but getting angry because somebody's not constantly complaining, you can't be like that. I sat with a taxi driver the other day, coming back from Heathrow, and I don't think he had a single good thing to say. I don't think he had a single good thing to say. He's just like complaining about everything. Everything from the costs of living here to everything. This is just pure negativity. Allah help him. It's just a pure negativity. It's the reality. What's complaining to somebody else about how difficult cost is, unless he was trying to get a bigger tip or something, right? It's a waste of time. There's no shukr there. We're better off than so many other people in the world. But there's some people who just always, oh man, things are expensive. There's a lot of expenses. People just go on about it. To people who are not going to be able to do a thing for them. It's understandable that you go and talk to a politician, come on man, do something about it. But you're just talking randomly, you're just complaining about this, that and the other. Everything's a complaint. Complaining about the way somebody's driving, just constant complaint about everything, just negative attitude. Negative attitude is a bad thing. That clearly makes it difficult for a person to interact with people because they're always going to be just focusing on negative. Understand, realize, recognize people are, there is bad, there's evil in the world. That's why another chauffeur this time, who I sat with, who was 70 something years old and he was still chauffeuring people around, right? I asked him, how do you drive? Right? How do you? He says, look, I just consider that most drivers are crazy. That's my opinion. So then I just have to be careful then. And you know, subhanAllah, that's very true, because when I tried driving in Morocco, you can't drive in a predictable way like you can in England, where everybody obeys the rules, there's one lane, you expect what people are supposed to. Yeah, you do get some abnormal situations, but most of the time it's quite understandable, predictable driving. But in some other countries, the driving is not predictable. You just have to drive slow and just expect something to come in front of you and be ready to stop. Then it gets easy. So same with life. Just expect there's going to be issues. Things don't always go according to predictability, right? It's somebody's going to run in the middle of the road. You're going to have to slam your brakes. But just don't be going so fast that you disturb the people in your car. Because when you slam on your brakes, people do lurch forward. And that's inconveniencing yourself and your family. So just don't do things like that. Just take it easy. So it's just like driving in some places. I say Morocco, I mean many countries, India, Pakistan, it's all the same. It's probably worse. So it doesn't make a difference. The next hadith is, which Imam Ahmad also relates, إِنَّ أَوْثَقَ عُرَى الْإِسْلَامِ أَن تُحِبَّ فِي اللَّهِ وَتَبْغَضْ فِي اللَّهِ. أَوْثَقَ الْعُرَى. عُرَى means a support. And أَوْثَق means the firmest, most established, strongest, most reliable. The most reliable support that you have for Islam, that you will stay on Islam, is that you love for the sake of Allah and you hate for the sake of Allah. Your attitude towards it's loving for the sake of Allah, hating for the sake of Allah. This is essentially what underpins most of our interaction with others. That's why these two things, I mean, they're not special things that you only do sometimes. Loving for Allah and hating for Allah are not special things you do sometimes. They are what underpins most of our interaction with people. Why we behave in certain ways with others. Whether we're buying or selling, whether we're speaking to somebody, whether we're asking somebody for directions. These, if we can have this in our mind, then all of these things are enhanced by that. This is what is underwriting all of that. That's why also another hadith that Imam Ahmad relates with a sahih chain is إِنَّ الْمُتَحَابِينَ فِي اللَّهِ لَتُرَى غُرَفُهُمْ فِي الْجَنَّةِ كَالْكَوْكَبِ الطَّالِعِ الشَّرْقِيِّ أَوِ الْغَرْبِيِّ فَيُقَالُ مَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ فَيُقَالْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْمُتَحَابُونَ فِي اللَّهِ. Verily, the people who love each other for the sake of Allah, their chambers, their places of residence, their apartments in Jannah, will be seen by people like stars are seen, the eastern or the western star that is illuminated is seen. They're going to be high up. They're going to have the high rises, meaning the highest of the chambers. So somebody's going to ask, people are going to ask, who are those for them? You know, like when you're being given something and then you see something up there and you're like, what about that one? Whose is that one? Like trying to say, can I have that one? He says, oh, these are for the people who loved each other for the sake of Allah. Remember the earlier hadith? Anybody who loves for the sake of Allah gets a special status in paradise. That's why he also said another hadith similar. The most beloved action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is love for his sake and hatred for his sake. In fact, people are looking for sweetness of faith. مَنْ سَرَّهُ أَنْ يَجِدَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ فَلْيُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. Anybody who it makes happy that they can feel, experience the sweetness of faith, the sweet taste of faith, then they should love a person only for the sake of Allah. Again, that's what I mentioned. Loving somebody for the sake of Allah, which is loving the people, Allah's bondsmen, people, humanity in general, is not an independent, mutually exclusive action. It's what underpins our attitude to people. That's why the Prophet ﷺ is mentioning so many hadith about this. So many hadith have been written because it underpins our interaction. And that's why here, it says that anybody who does that, who makes that their approach, they will start tasting the sweetness of faith. Because they'll avoid ghibah, They will avoid backbiting. They'll avoid unnecessarily cheating somebody, harming somebody, arguing with somebody. They're purely doing things for the sake of Allah. They're going to be satisfied with Allah. The rahmah of Allah is going to be on them. They're going to get the sweetness of faith. That's going to be their reward. Then Imam Tabarani relates, Ra'sul aqli ba'da al-imani billahi at-tahabbub ila an-nas. The true intelligence after iman with Allah, faith in Allah, is tahabbub ila an-nas, creating love with people, spreading love, creating love, just being a loving person. And don't, and again, just to clarify, don't think love is this kind of this this soppy kind of love we're talking about, where you're swooning all over the place. No, it's just being decent, good, soft, compassionate. That's what we're talking about. It's the pure love. Unfortunately, love has been restricted to either an amorous sexual kind of love or this kind of soppy kind of feeling. There's another hadith that said there'll be three people in the arsh, in the shade of the arsh, in shade of the throne. So here only three are mentioned. That doesn't mean that there can't be more. In this hadith, only three are mentioned. The Prophet ﷺ, يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّ رَجُلٌ حَيْثُ تَوَجَّهَ عَلِمَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَهُ. A person who, wherever, whatever direction he's facing in, whatever he's doing, he knows that Allah is with him. Person has got such a presence, a wukuf of Allah, such a presence with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that regardless of where he always knows Allah is with me. Whether he's busy or not busy. Most of us, we only remember Allah when we're praying or when something bad happens. But no, this person always remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the next one is the person who's approached by a woman of high standing, and he leaves her for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He leaves the zina for the sake of Allah. وَرَجُلٌ أَحَبَّ لِجَلَالِ اللَّهِ. And a person who loves for the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, let's do two more hadith and then we'll leave the rest for next time. He says, there's another hadith that's also related. الْمُتَحَابُّونَ فِي اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ كَرَاسِيٍ مِّنْ يَاقُوتٍ حَوْلَ الْعَرْشِ. Now this is more detail about the special places in Jannah for these people. So not only do they get a special degree, special chambers, but also in the, once a week people are going to go to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's going to be special seating there, right? And what do you call a seating that's the best seating?
VIP.
Shall I, VIP works. Now they've got VVIP, very, very VIP, that's what they say in Indian places. Like, this is no VVIP. This is in English. Very. So this is just the way, 5 stars, that wasn't enough, 7 stars. So that's the dunya. The paradise, it's, beyond, it's starless. It's just, subhanAllah, the way it is. So that's the nature of this world. Everything is bested by something else, if that's a term. He said that in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the people who love each other for the sake of Allah will be on kursi, on special platforms, special seating places that are made of sapphire. Now to appreciate this, you need to see a sapphire. What color is a sapphire? It's blue. It's a very special blue. Right? The sapphire, the natural sapphire, the stone, it's a really beautiful blue. And the chair is going to be made of that. So imagine what it's going to look like to be sitting on that. Around the arsh, that's a close place. I don't know what you call those places, but it's going to be the closest place. Very close place. وَرَوَىٰ أَيْضًا. He's also related that Allah says, وَجَبَتْ مَحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَحَابِينَ فِيَّ وَالْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِيَّ وَالْمُتَبَاذِلِينَ فِيَّ وَالْمُتَزَاوِلِينَ فِيَّ. My love is necessary, is mandatory for the following groups of people. One is those who love for my sake, who love each other for my sake. Again, start loving your spouse for the sake of Allah. Start loving your children because Allah wants you to love them, not just because you feel like loving them. It's gonna be the same thing, but when you do it for the sake of Allah, we get this reward, right? And that's love we have to do, we have to deal with. But then try to extend that. That's our training ground, I say. So start training with the people we need to love, that this is for the sake of Allah. And then extend that out to others as well. So people who love each other for my sake. Number two, people who sit with each other for my sake. Let's go and visit that brother for the sake of Allah. He's sick. I'm not going to get anything out of him, but for the sake of Allah, so he's sick. Oh, he's just had a setback. Let's go and make him feel a bit better. See if he needs any help. His mother died in Pakistan. Whatever the case is. All of this is done for the sake of Allah, not because of culture. Shouldn't be done because of culture. You don't get the reward for that. You still do the same act. Okay, the next one. Al-mutabadhilina fiyya. Who are helping one another struggle for the sake of Allah. Essentially helping one another. And number four. Mutazawirina fiyya. Visiting one another. Like specifically visiting. So that visiting the sick and that will also come under this. Mutajalisin, sitting together. There's a number of other hadith, I think. Let's just do this one more point because it brings another idea here. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَوَ أَنَّ عَبْدَيْنِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ. If two servants loved each other for the sake of Allah, one was in the east, one was in the west. Nowadays, a lot of this happens, right? You learn about somebody online, on Facebook, on Twitter. They seem to be saying some decent things. So you develop some love for the sake of Allah. One's in the east, one's in the west. You may have never met them in this life. You may have just had correspondence with them. فَأُجْلِسَ عَلَيْهِ. No, it says then, لَجَمَعَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of judgment, Allah will bring the two together. And He will say, هَذَا الَّذِي كُنْتَ تُحِبُّهُ فِيَّ. This was the guy you used to like for me. You've never seen him before, but Allah will do the introduction. So as you can see, there's a lot of coverage on this point because it underpins a lot of our interaction. Another one, subhanAllah, I mean, it just complements what we said before. It says, whenever two people love each other for the sake of Allah, Allah will place for them a special seating place, make them sit on it, on the day when He takes the reckoning and accounting of everybody until He finishes with the accounting. Basically, you stay in the VIP terminal until we deal with all of your immigration process. And it does feel nice, to be honest. I mean, when I went to Abu Dhabi recently, because it was an invitation for a special conference. As soon as you get there, they take your pass, they have a name, they take you out of the side, nice van with nice cool water and everything. And I thought maybe they're going to interrogate me. But then when I saw the nice water and everything, well, I go, you know, it doesn't seem too bad. Take you to another one coming to the VIP terminal, right? VIP terminal, they take your passport, your baggage tags, you sit there enjoying some food, sandwiches, dates, tea, etc. And in about 5-10 minutes, they bring you your passport stamped and your luggage right there. Put you in a car, take you right out. No problem at all. So if that's going to happen on Day of Judgment, why not? Subhanallah. First class service. I'm only mentioning this just to explain what it feels like. No sweat. Like there's no sweat in it. You know, generally, when you're traveling, normal class, there's a lot of sweat involved in that. Rushing, making sure you get there in time, making sure your luggage is within the right size, dimensions, weight, and so on. Getting to the place on time, then your seat, who you're sitting next to, cramped, all the rest of it, right? But here, it's just, subhanAllah, if we can all be given that first class in the hereafter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, you don't break a sweat, so you're just taken from one place to the next, one place to the next. Get a massage, get this, get that. That's the whole thing they're doing. This is supposed to remind us of the hereafter. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ahabba qawman hushira fi zumratihim." Imam Tabarani relates this in his Mu'jam al-Kabir. Anybody who loves a group of people, a certain type of people, certain group of people, he will be gathered with that group on the Day of Judgment. So this group of pious people that you can't even get close to for whatever reason, but you love them, you want to be like them, and you try to be like them, but you can't be like them. Like, it could be the Sahaba, it could be gone people. Right? The Mashaykh of the past, the Sahaba of the past, the Prophets of the past. I just love the Prophets. I just love the Sahaba. SubhanAllah, I wish I was at that time. That kind of real serious feeling. Not just vocalizing. Real serious feeling. You'll be gathered with them on the Day of Judgment. This is just an additional investment we're making. We can't put our entire hope in that, because there's a lot of other deeds we have to do. But we can put a great hope in that. In fact, we can put entire hope in that. But as long as we don't sacrifice, or as long as we're not messing up in other things. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to correct our interaction and really begin to love people and show affection and just be nicer people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make it easy for us. May Allah help us in this regard. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time. Especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules. And at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.